Hello friends, today I am taking the chapter 4 titled Recruitment, Selection and Induction, a very important process in human resources management. You know, they say that recruitment selection can make or break the organization's morale. If I have a wrong person coming into the organization, then the organization can get into trouble and the person who's joined will also feel frustrated. Now this process, unfortunately, in many organizations is not done properly. You know, we say the right person for the right job. In human resources management, we say right person for the right job. Recruitment selection has to carefully handle this, taking into consideration the manpower planning figures and the manpower planning timeline. So prior to recruitment selection, what have we discussed? We have discussed manpower planning. So in the manpower planning, what are we doing? We are creating a timetable of people to be hired at different levels. Now these people who are hired at different levels are hired at different points of time. And at every point of time, the organization needs to be sensitive to know whom to hire, when to hire and where to hire. Now this is easily said than done because it's a very subtle thing we are talking about. Human beings are not like commodities. If I put a manpower planning saying that in the month of August, I'm going to hire 200 people, I may make efforts to hire 200 people by going through recruitment selection process. But there's no guarantee that 200 will join because human beings have got their own will to accept or reject an offer. We may not find suitable candidates either. This is a very, very difficult resource to handle. Very challenging. So recruitment selection is a real skill, and this skill comes only not by looking at the job specification sheet. What are we doing? We are taking manpower planning. We also discuss about job analysis. In that we talk about job specification sheet. Now that job specification sheet tells us that we want so and so person with so and so qualification, so and so experience with this type of person qualities. Now typically, you take the sheet of paper and you are sitting in the interview panel and you start looking for those qualities. It is not that much paper cut to cut. No, it's something more than that. There are certain subtle human qualities, certain things which you need to sense, to understand, to capture, to calibrate when the person is talking to you. So recruitment selection process goes beyond the sheet called the job specification sheet. This is one thing which we all need to understand. The job specification sheet becomes an indicator that this is the person I want. But then there are other things which are not fully mentioned there. They can't be mentioned. Because it's a one-to-one interaction wherein you get the sensing skills. The interviewer, the recruiter has to sense, will this person fit into this company? There are certain types of conversations from where we come to know whether the person has got a certain type of attitude or not. Now all those things are very important. And that is a skill of the recruiter selector. Just because I put in 20 years of experience in a company doesn't make me a good recruiter. I may be having a tunnel vision about some things about life and then I may be less objective and more subjective. Which means I may be looking at people from my eyes rather than looking at the person from the requirements of the job. This is one of the errors of recruitment selection. So we need a very open person with a good amount of human experience, a person who's experienced with human relations, human values, human interaction, etc. A person who has got emotional maturity as well. It's very essential. Now, although we may say that this is required only at a senior level, I would rather say that this is required at all levels. Even if I'm taking a level at the entry level, someone at the entry level, operations, I need a person in the recruitment selection panel who has the maturity to identify that this person can fit into the company's working and culture. That's very essential. So in this chapter, we're going to be running through the various, what is recruitment, what is selection, and the various things that are a part of the whole process. So let's take it further. The objective of the session: what is recruitment, importance of recruitment, the process of recruitment in organization, the steps through which we go, various sources of recruitment, what is the selection process, the next process that follows after recruitment is selection, and then how is the selection process conducted in an organization, and what is induction, also orientation. There are two terms, right? Now the structure of the session will be as follows. we'll discuss the nature and importance of recruitment, followed by the process of recruitment, the various sources of recruitment and selection, the process of selection, induction. We'll be touching upon some related reading to be done, and finally we'll be summing up with the summary. So let's take the first one, very first definition. What is a recruitment? It's a process of searching for and obtaining applications for jobs so that people can be selected from this pool. I'll give some more input to you. You can note it down in your notebooks. Recruitment consists of four processes. Recruitment comprises four processes, four steps. The first step, to put it in very simple terms, the first step is announcing to the world that there exists vacancies in the organization. Announcing to the world that there exists vacancies in the organization. First step. How do you announce? Through some means. You advertise, it goes by word of mouth, it goes through intranet and through various means. So you are basically conveying the message to the world outside that there exists a vacancy in the company or there are vacancies. Step number two, the world receives this message and they respond to you. The world responds to your message. How do they respond? Through applications, through walk-ins, through talk-ins, and various ways of contacting you back. Third step is you receive the applications, then you segregate them based on what are the applications in line with the specification sheet, and the ones which are not in line with the specification sheet, you keep them separately. Third step. And the fourth step, the ones whom you have selected, whom you have shortlisted, to them you send the appointment, you send the call letters for an interview. The recruitment process has ended. So the four steps are announcing to the world that there exist vacancies. Step number two, the world responds to this announcement. Step number three, you collect the applications and segregate them, shortlisting the ones which need to be called for interview. And the fourth one is you send call letters to the ones who you want to call for interview. This, in short, in very simple terms, is the recruitment process, technically. Now, many organizations, many people, and many HR people also included, and many books, they confuse one with the other. We call recruitment as selection, and selection as recruitment, and everything seems to be one. Now, I would expect that you segregate it properly so that you demarcate it. This is where recruitment ends, and this is where selection starts. Recruitment is not a elimination process to begin with. It is including everything, and from there we eliminate. Selection process is an elimination process, right? So coming back to the slide, it's a process of searching for and obtaining applications for the jobs so that people can be selected from this pool. Manpower is a key factor in a company's success, and today HR has realized that to develop a qualitative manpower, suitable candidates have to be recruited and selected. This is very obvious. So what does recruitment do? It attracts qualified and competent people. The job specification sheet comes out in the form of an advertisement. And then it attracts those people who are qualified for the job. Now I am not talking about only paper qualifications. Qualified in terms of skills, abilities, capabilities, competency, etc. So those are the people who get attracted to apply for the job. Point number two, it ensures employees stay with the organization. During the recruitment process, I'm telling the people, look, this is what our company is offering you. So we have to make it as a beautiful exercise in advertising. When I say advertising means, we don't go to an advertising agency, but we have to word it in such a way that it looks attractive without telling lies. Authentic yet attractive. Third point, ensures cost matches benefits. There's always a cost of recruitment. See, when I want to recruit people, I have to spend on so many things. Sending applications, inserting an advertisement, and various costs are involved. Those costs have to match the benefits of getting the right person, the right fitment for the job. The last point is, creates culturally diverse workforce. By spreading the word to the whole world, what happens? I'm attracting a lot of people. I'm attracting talent. I'm attracting aptitudes. And when we say culturally diverse, means people come from different backgrounds, different regions, different states. All of them are from different states, different regions, different languages, mother tongues. But they come together for the common skills which all of them have. So recruitment actually gives us this democratic opportunity for everybody to participate in joining the company. So friends, taking this slide, we talk about recruitment planning. Recruitment planning is nothing but I have to make a plan of the recruitment steps. Now, what is the starting point? The starting point, as given in the slide, is the manpower planning that we do earlier and the job analysis that is done. Manpower planning generates number of job vacancies, and job analysis provides the information as to the nature of the vacancies that are existing. With this data, HR plans the recruitment. So the recruitment plan is ready after this. Now we have to do what is called as a strategic development. What is strategic development? I have got to know how to go about doing it because I am going into the unknown. I have to plan how to face the unknown because there are too many variables. There is a job market out there. There are people whom we have to attract to apply to our company. And there is no one single approach that is going to help. You are going to have multiple approaches. Whenever you are going into the unknown, and there are too many unknowns which you can't capture, which you can't predict, which you can't forecast, strategy comes into picture. So I need to take into account what are the different approaches I need to have so that I attract the best talent from the entire universe outside. The people have to get enthusiastic, they must get attracted to seeing my advertisement, my communication to them, so that they apply for it. They not only have to get attracted, they must also apply for it. Now that is a strategic development we need to take care of when we are doing a recruitment plan. Recruit less skilled employees and then train them. This is one strategy we can form. Companies take people who are just about okay. They might take a person who's average and then they'll say that we have a training program, we have an induction program in which we put them into skills building and skills development. This is one way of doing it. Either that or we go for recruit fully trained skilled employees. Again, that's a strategy of each company. There are some scenarios given here. No single scenario is followed. You have to match and mix any different types of scenario combination. So every company will have its own types of strategic development to be taken depending upon what they want, what is the culture and what is the thinking process of the top management. Method of recruitment, media is to be used. We can use media. I'll take it further to the next slide. And from where to seek applicants, metro, cities or towns. I can ask where do I take people from? Do I take from the metro cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata or Chennai? Or do I take it from the smaller towns? Today we all know IT companies, for example, are hiring and recruiting people from all over the country. In fact, I have been training a few IT majors and I find that most of the people are working in these IT companies, the large scale IT companies, you find that most of them are coming not from the metro cities, but they are coming from the interiors, the smaller towns and the cities. Okay. Sources. Now, what are the sources from where we have a recruitment? It could be internal or external. Now, what do you mean by internal? Now, there could be a vacancy coming up in an organization and I may want to fill up the vacancy from internally. For example, there is a requirement for a sales manager for a consumer durable item in a company. And we may not advertise to the world. We may only do an advertisement within the company. We may put it in the internet through the Lotus Notes and then the people inside come to know that there is a vacancy for a sales manager consumer durables. Then all the eligible people will apply for the job. Then there will be the usual selection process and they will be selecting them accordingly, internal. External means we tell the world outside. We may hire agencies, we may hire manpower consultants and then from there we have the recruitment process coming in. Both of them have got their advantages and disadvantages and they have to be used according to the need of the hour and what is required to be done. Lead time required. What is meant by lead time? I want to hire a person in the month of say October. So I need certain amount of time for the entire process of recruiting, selecting, panel interviews, etc., etc., etc. So that's a lead time. And after the lead time is taken care of, we have also to account for the person's willingness to join and when he is getting relieved from the earlier company. There are so many variables. So the lead time, if a job is to be filled in January, for example, as given here in the slide, and the lead time is 6 months, the vacancy has to be advertised 6 months earlier in June, or it can be even earlier than that perhaps. In fact, for very senior positions, the lead time can be as long as 1 year, maybe 18 months. A position of a CEO to be filled up is not an ordinary position. And the CEO's position needs to be advertised or told to people long, much in advance, a 1 year in advance. Of course, the process of communicating is not through advertisement. We have a different, a sophisticated way of communicating is very different. So depending upon the level, the channel of communication which we use is also different. So friends, we're talking about searching, the next point. And searching involves what? It begins after the recruitment plan and the strategy are developed. Line managers also initiated by filling in the requisitions for employees. What is it? It's very simple. Line managers are the HODs, the people, the user department which wants to hire a person. The operations manager, for example, becomes a line manager. Now he may have a requirement to hire a shop floor executive, a production engineer, for example. So he will send a requisition slip to the HR people, and they in turn they will put it into the strategy and go for the recruitment process as per the plans. This is a searching operation. Next comes screening. It refers to the scrutiny and the shortlisting of the candidates. Like I told you earlier, we are getting all the applications coming to us, and when the applications come to us, we do what is called a screening or shortlisting. Okay. Now job specifications are used to weed out unsuitable applicants. Weed out means remove. So the job specification sheet becomes a reference point. It's a reference document. And we will do a checklist whether the person is fitting into the qualifications, the age, the experience, the attitude, etc., etc., etc. So those of them who are coming nearest to what the job specification wants, they will be kept in the shortlisted candidates to be called for the interview. Rest of them, earlier on, we should tear out the application and throw them away. Today, we don't do that. We keep them on hold because these candidates may be useful for other positions. Right? Next. Evaluation and control. Recruitment process is evaluated on the basis of the number of applications received and the number of candidates that went through the selection process. What we call it as the success rate. I must have gone for the recruitment program and communicated to so many people, and 1000 applications would have come in. Now out of the 1000 applications, I may have, let's say, 20 vacancies. Now in this, out of the 1000 applications, how many of them I'm shortlisting? How many of them are worth it? In terms of, let us say, out of 1000, 500 are fitting into the job specification sheet bill. They're fitting into the job specification sheet's requirements. So we can say 50%. So the recruitment process, its efficiency has to be tested. Have I been efficient enough in communicating properly through the proper channel? There are times when we communicate, and we communicate in such a way that people, let us say the specification for the particular job says 5 years of experience, mechanical engineer. People would with 10 years of experience also apply. People with 2 years of experience may also apply. And even non-graduates, diploma holders, certificate holders, everybody may apply. It could be due to various reasons. But if my communication is not clear, I'll find that all and sundry are applying. So instead of expecting 1000 applications, I may get something like 5000 applications also. This is poor recruitment process. Meaning, before I send the communication to the world outside that I want people, I must be clear that my communication is hitting at the target audience. Suppose the target audience is 1000 and the applications come to me, 800 of them are to my specification sheet. It means that I have done an 80% success in my recruitment process. So the number of people who come in and who are fitting into the spec sheet requirements would mean that we have done a good recruitment communication. It's very essential. So once that is done, what happens? It's a basis of the number of applications received and the number of candidates that went to the selection process. So 1000 comes in, 800 go for selection process. It's a very good signal. But if 1000 comes in and I find only 50 or 100 or 200 go, it's not a good sign. It means in the recruitment process, somewhere I have lost out on some aspect of it. It could be communication. It could be the way I structure the job specification sheet. It could be the way the job analysis has not been done. Various reasons. But at the end of it is what? The work concern that needs to be done has not been done. So it's not a very good sign. Continuing further, the cost of the recruitment process is also essential. How much am I spending on this in terms of time, money, manpower? Am I sending someone to a distant town to recruit people, and I'm finding that the cost of going up and down and the stay there is much more than the quality of candidates whom I'm finally selecting? These things need to be taken into consideration. Am I giving it to a manpower consultant who's so expensive that the cost of recruiting a person is more than the worth of the particular job in terms of evaluation? The number of candidates retained after probation period and the performance of the candidates selected. These are all the factors that evaluate the recruitment process. The number of candidates retained after probation. People join the company after selection. They are placed. When they are placed, there is a certain testing period called probation period. During that time, we are testing the promise made by them and what we think they can deliver. We put them on the job and then we see them, we watch them from time to time. So during that period, which could be 6 months, it could be 8 months, it could be 10 months, it could be 1 year, 1.5 years, depending on the position. During the probation period, what happens actually? The probation period is a time when the person is tested. Now, there's a likelihood that the person has understood something different from what we had put in the advertisement. He joins a company. It must have happened to some of you listening to me. After joining the company, you start getting a disillusion. Oh my God, this is something very different. So what happens during the probation itself, people leave and go. It has happened in many companies. So the number of candidates retained after probation, those who stay after the probation are the ones who are not only sold out on what you told them, they are also convinced the way they are working with the organization. That means they are in congruence with what has been sold to them, inverted commas, and what they have bought, inverted commas. And last but not the least, the performance of the candidate selected. Have I selected the right person? When I do the selection process, when I'm interviewing, have I really gauged that this person is really capable? Does he have the skills? These are all judgments. I may think that I've got 20 years of experience. I'm a good judge of human beings. I may not be. It's a gamble. It's a gamble by and large, but more or less experience will try to make the risk element less of recruiting and selecting the wrong person. It's an art. And you need certain other individual skills, subjective skills of the recruiter and the selector. Some intuition, some emotional intelligence, some sensing skills. Trying to understand what sort of value systems the person is operating from. Does he fit into our company? Now all those things are something not given in the spec sheet, but you need to put it into practice. It's a very committed and very responsible job. Because at the entry point is a time when you have to decide whether the person is coming to an organization or not. And if you make a mistake, then it becomes too damaging to the organization and to the person whom you are recruiting. This is the major issue we are facing today in many organizations, especially in service sector. Now people may come out with justification saying that we don't get good people, we don't get this, we don't get that. At the end of the day, do I know what I want? I should ask myself a question as an organization. If I know what I want, I will go and look for the right people at the right places. After having got that, I must be realistic about what my company can offer. Many companies make tall claims of offering the sky and the mountains. At the end of it, they have nothing to offer when the person joins. Now, this is unethical. This is lacking integrity. If you tell the truth to the candidate, and the candidate is also motivated to tell the truth from his side, if that becomes a culture of recruitment, then things become much more easier, much more transparent. Then we'll be landing up efficiently recruiting. At the same time, there'll be less of losses of people joining and leaving or wrong recruits coming in. It's very important. Taking it further, friends, internal sources. Now we talk about internal sources of recruitment. These internal sources include present employees, as I told you earlier, employee referrals. I tell XYZ that I want people, so he goes and tells some third party outside the company perhaps, but the initiation takes place from inside, employee referral. Former employees, people have left and gone whom we know are having the skills and who could fit into our culture back again. Former applicants, people who have applied earlier who are not selected, they can be reconsidered. Internal recruitment is less costly and it increases the morale of the staff. It increases the morale, it increases the motivation. They feel it's an excellent opportunity for us to get upgraded upwards. Internal recruitment usually takes place at an upgrade level, it's a promotion. So people feel happy about it. It's commitment to the organization and the job satisfaction. People feel better. They don't need to be going through induction or orientation. They already know the culture. From one function, they go to another function. They need to slightly tune in. That's all. And the firm obtains more knowledge about skills and abilities of its employees. We already have a person who's more or less ready-made. That's internal source. Internal source is present employees. The source is used when promotions and transfers are used to fill vacancies. Promotions are cheaper, vacancies get filled with trained employees, and they motivate employees and create job satisfaction. Internal recruitment, as I told you, is used for two purposes, promotion as well as for transfer. Transfer means taking you laterally into another geographical location, not always, or into another function in the same generic category. Transfer is not about shift of job totally. If you are going from finance to marketing, that is not a transfer. Transfer will be within the finance department. You will be transferred to another function in finance perhaps. It can be lateral. And when you get elevated in the organization ladder, it's called as a promotion. So for these two processes, internal source of recruitment is the most sought after thing. Employees can be transferred to other departments or locations, but if wrongly handled, can result in resignations. We need to handle things pretty well. We are dealing with humans. And when dealing with humans, there are human emotions. And the relationship which we already have with people working with us also matter. If I have a bad relationship with someone, when I'm doing the recruitment internally, then that will come in the way of my recruitment. So it should be handled with people who are having good amount of equations with others. So the personal history of the person, his stay in the company, his interpersonal relationship with other people, all these matter. They matter a lot. It's a very delicate job. And then motivating the person to feel comfortable that he has to take the offer is another question altogether. Okay? Now, taking it further, friends, employer referrals. These are some of the points which I've already discussed. Here it is, employer referrals. The source is profitably used by multi-location, large organizations. Benefits of internal resources are available, and employees are entitled to reward if their referral is appointed or completes probation period. In many BPOs, I've noticed employer referrals is one of the path they use for recruiting. Already an existing employee is encouraged to go and refer for vacancies about the company. He or she goes and refers, and for every referral, some incentive is paid. That's a type of a motivation given to them. The second one is past employees. As I told you, retired or resigned employees often are available for part or full-time assignments. They too can refer to the relations and friends.